When one talks of the concept of biblical submission, often anger and even division arises. In fact, in the so-called evangelical church, it's greatly divided over the issue. You see that, but it shouldn't be that way. We should take the word as it is at face value, and I believe we'll do so today.
Thanks for joining us for this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we begin the application section in our study of Colossians.
Yes, we will, Dave. And today we're going to begin our look at the marriage relationship. Okay, let's turn our Bibles together to Colossians chapter 3, and we're looking at verses 18 and 19.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Scripture makes it clear that there are none righteous, not even one, that apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ through faith, man is unrighteous. And we see unrighteousness and its effects everywhere. It affects every relationship. It affects marriage relationship. It affects parent-child. It affects work relationship. Whatever it might be, it affects every relationship. Now, God, in his redemptive discipline and grace, he forewarned Adam and Eve concerning the consequences of the fall in Genesis chapter 3. He said to the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you shall bring forth children. Yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. The term desire there speaks of a hungering intent. This hungering intent will be to rule over the husband. And then we see that in sin, husbands would dominate their wives. The default state in unrighteousness is not good. A picture of marriage in the context of unrighteousness is pretty ugly. Now, we as believers, we have been redeemed by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our marriages should not be so. But sadly, we see statistics that say, basically, there's just as many divorces in the Christian community, supposedly, as there are among non-believers. That shouldn't be so, by the way. God said, what God has joined, let no one separate. Made it very clear. Now today, we're getting into a portion in the book of Colossians in which we're getting into practical instruction based on the word of Christ dwelling richly in us and his peace ruling our hearts. Based on setting our minds on the things above, based on the full salvation we have in Christ and being in him complete. And now he's going to begin to apply it to relationships, to husband-wife, to parent-child, to slave-master, work relationship, and then to how we relate to outsiders. So we're going to get some practical instruction for how we should be and what we should be. So would you turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, and we're looking at verses 18 and 19. Now, a couple of things I want to share in advance is if you're single, don't tune out, because the principles that we will see here today apply to everything. The principles of relying on Jesus, allowing his word to work in our hearts and his spirit working in us apply to everything. Now, the Apostle Paul is writing the Colossian church. He is imprisoned in Rome. It is about 62 AD, and he has never visited Colossae, but yet he has heard from Epaphras, who has traveled 1,600 miles of the state of the Colossian church, that they've trusted in Jesus Christ and that they have love for one another. And yet there are some threats to their faith in Jesus. There were those trying to delude them with persuasive arguments. There were those who were using worldly wisdom rather than the wisdom that comes alone from Christ. They were using wisdom from below religiously to dupe these believers into trusting in the shadows or trusting in experience or rules to keep themselves from sinning, to keep themselves from fleshly indulgence. The Apostle Paul makes it clear in the context of this book that the solution is Jesus Christ, that Christ is the solution, that he is the Lord of the first creation. Through him, all things were created. And he is also the Lord of the new creation. And he is the one who is in us. He is the one whom we proclaim, Paul would share. In light of the bad guys he would talk about in chapter 2, we proclaim Christ. admonishing every man and teaching every man that we present every man complete in Christ. And as I mentioned, he goes to explain those things about the bad guys in chapter 2, but he also points out our complete salvation and that in Christ we are complete. We have everything we need in Christ. And therefore, in chapter 3, we should set our mind on the things above, not the things of earth. We should be focusing on the things of the exalted Christ, the things about where Christ is. Because in position, we have died and our lives are hidden with Christ. And we have been raised with him in newness of life. And when he comes back, we will be revealed with him in glory. And so we looked at that, how we're to have a different mindset as believers. We're not to be seeing things through the lens of our own understanding or the world's understanding, but through what God reveals in his word. And then we saw concerning sin, what we were to do. We were to kill off, not let live, sexual sin. We were to kill it off in the power of the Holy Spirit. We've been raised with Christ. We're new in him. Should we continue to sin that grace may abound? May it never be. How shall you who have died to sin still live in it? But yet we have these bodies of flesh. We are still tempted to sin. And within that, we are not to let those sins live. And then concerning other sins like anger, wrath, malice, abusive speech, we are to put that off like a dirty garment. We're to make a decision to not go there. And if we have, we confess that. We make a decision to throw it off like a dirty garment and to put on Christ, to put on his character, to allow his word to so fill our hearts to the brim that his will is drawing and leading us into how we should interact and act. And then within that, we saw the heart attitudes that we should have in the context of having our minds renewed, in the context of putting off sin and putting on Christ. We saw the heart attitudes. First of all, we are to have his peace ruling our hearts. It is to be the umpire. It is to reveal where we're at. And we know that when things are, wait a second. Am I trusting Christ? Am I relying on him? Is his peace, not the world's peace, not the fake peace, but his peace is to umpire or rule our hearts in everything we do. And then we saw we are to have his word dwelling richly. His word filling our hearts, directing, leading, guiding. We saw it was parallel, and we'll see this today, to having the Spirit control us. We see in the results of that are a heart that sings unto the Lord and shares his word and is thankful. So we're to have heart attitudes that put on Christ, his peace ruling, his word dwelling richly, and then controlling all we do and say, everything to his glory. And so with that in mind, the Apostle Paul now then moves to the relationships that we have in this world. And first and foremost, he starts with the marriage relationship. And so again, turn to Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 18 and 19. Now, I need to warn you, if you take these things out of context, you take them and just try to apply them in your own strength, you will fail, you'll get bitter, you'll mess up, you'll destroy relationships. Everything that we're going to see today is based on letting his word dwell richly in us, having a right relationship with Christ, and letting him direct us and guide us and lead us. And so it's impossible. You're going to see these commands for husbands and wives. They're impossible to do apart from abiding in Jesus Christ. Now, Pharisaical, prideful people can say, yeah, I'll do that. I can do it all. I've done it all. But their hearts are not right. We need to, from the heart, recognize our inability and thus his ability. One of my favorite passages, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, not that we are adequate to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. And he has made us adequate as new servants of a new covenant. He's made us adequate. We are able in him to do what he calls us to do, but not within our own power and strength. Okay, so let's take a look. And I want to back up, since I've shared it's all connected. I want to back up and start reading back in verse 1, and we'll read into our passage. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not the things on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Amen. That's wonderful. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. You also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and freeman, but Christ is all and in all. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Now, if we're doing those things in a marriage relationship, that's going to be pretty good, right? It still applies there. The things we'll see today are not separated from these things here. Okay? And then notice what he says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly within you with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And then our passage. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. So today we're going to look at the wives' responsibility first, and then we'll look at the husband's responsibility. And we have here very clearly what we are to be in the context of our relationship with Christ. What we are to do, some very clear commands. Now, I want to give an exhortation here that as I share these things concerning wives and husbands, don't be sitting there pointing your finger at your wife while we're going through that. And as a shared husband, don't be pointing your finger at your husband. You should be looking at it to how does it apply to me? This is about us. This portion is about us, how it applies to us. If you're focused on the shortcomings of those in your relationship, you're not going to hear God's word. The reality is we all fall short of the glory of God, but I hope we all desire to obey him and to walk rightly and to confess when we don't, right? So if you find yourself thinking about your spouse rather than yourself, turn it back to yourself and allow God's word to work on you and allow God to work on them, okay? All right. So here we have the first command. First of all, wives, verse 18, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Now, this is a hot button in some churches. I don't know why. But some churches, this is a hot button. When one talks of the concept of biblical submission, often anger and even division arises. In fact, in the so-called evangelical church, it's greatly divided over the issue. And I don't know why. It's very clear what we're going to see today. Well, I do know why, because there are bad guys who crept in unnoticed who are twisting the word of God. But you see that. But it shouldn't be that way. We should take the word as it is at face value, and I believe we'll do so today. So here, what does our passage say? Wives, be subject to your husbands. Now, obviously, we're speaking about marriage here. And we need to remember that God is the one who ordained marriage and brought it forth. We didn't figure that out. God is the one who did so. Marriage was not man's idea. It was God's idea. With that in mind, let's take a look at some passages concerning what God has to say about marriage. Turn back to Genesis chapter 2, and just look a little bit here. We're not going to look at all of it, but Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." One corresponding. He says, "It's not good for man to be alone." We know Adam was created first, then Eve was taken out of Adam, right? Created, God fashioned a woman, right? We know that. And so the Lord God say, hey, it's not good. And then notice in verse 22, and the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. And the man said, now, this is now, or at last, really translate, at last, bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. God is the one who ordained marriage, and God is the one in ordaining it brought forth some reasons as we see why. One is companionship. It's not good for the man to be alone. There needed to be a helper suitable or compatible in that sense. We also know that from Matthew 19 that marriage, biblical marriage, and all these other passages is between a man and a woman, one man and one woman. That's pretty obvious, but wow, our society is so corrupt in its wickedness that we'd even have to say that. We also see very clearly from scriptures that marriage brings about a new family, a leaving of one's parents and cleaving to one's wife, the two becoming one flesh, Genesis 2, Matthew 19, Ephesians 5. And it is God who joins the two together in marriage. What God has joined, let no man separate. And I remember when Hillary and I were getting married, everything's ready and about ready to run down the aisle. And our pastor said, stop, wait, stop. Hillary, don't mess with this marriage. Greg, don't mess with this marriage. And he turned to the crowd, don't mess with this marriage. What God has joined, let no man separate. The reality is that's the truth. God is the one who is joined, so let no man separate it. And we see marriage is also blessed in Genesis for procreation, be fruitful and multiply. And in this there is God-ordained joy. Proverbs 5:18, let your fountain be blessed, rejoice in the wife of your youth, as a loving hind, a graceful doe. Now, before you run out and get married right away, remember, the New Testament reveals that marriage is not for everyone. Matthew 19:12, 1 Corinthians 7:25, it's if God wills it to be so, it's good. Now, everyone is single until they get married, so that's good until you get married, if that's his will, right? And God has ordained some to be single for a special time, 1 Corinthians 7. The Apostle Paul was able to serve the Lord undistracted because he wasn't married. We see that. He had the right to take a wife. We see that in 1 Corinthians 9. But 1 Corinthians 7, let's turn there for a second, 1 Corinthians 7. Before you run out and get married and think it's so great, well, it is wonderful if God's ordained it. But you got to make sure it's God, the one leading you into it. It's God who brings a wife. He who finds a wife finds a good thing, right? It's God that does that. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7. Now I'm going to read all this a little bit later. He says, yet I wish that all men were even as I myself am. That's single, by the way. He says, however, each man has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. Hey, it's a gift whichever way it is, if God is leading it, okay? It may be a temporary gift, it may be a longer gift than that. He says, but I say to the unmarried and to the widows that it is good for them if they remain as even as I. But if they don't have self-control, let them marry, for it is better for them to marry than burn. Then look down at verse 32. But I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and his interests are divided. The reality is, if God has ordained that you're single, you have a special gift to serve him unhindered until he brings a spouse or if he doesn't. That's the reality. So we should not be discontent wherever we are at. We need to be content. Paul says, I've learned the secret to contentment, whether it's a lot or a little. He's talking about money in that context. And he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we need to be content. If you're not content, then the husband you get or the wife you get might not be the right one. If you're content in your singleness and trusting him and he brings that right one, praise the Lord. And then you can be content in your marriage, right? Now, by the way, marriage is primarily God's ordained plan for most people. That's what we see. But there are those he's ordained to be single. And so, as I mentioned before, although this is about marriage today, the principles we will see apply to the Christian walk. I mentioned earlier, the Old Testament says he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Obtains favor from the Lord. Proverbs 18:22, we share the men. Hey, you know, if you feel led, you got to find a wife. I'm not saying make that your focus, but you're not going to find a wife if you're not around the wives you can find, right? You want to be around those who love the Lord, who are walking with the Lord, who are trusting him, obeying him. Their focus is Jesus. Don't be around those in these youth groups we see today that's all about dating and relationships and all this stuff. Stay away from that junk. You focus on Jesus Christ, and God just might put someone nearby you that's focusing on him too. You trust him. You focus on him. Now, we'll see this in a little bit, that marriage also is a picture of Christ's love for the church. So with this foundational understanding, recognizing God is the one who has ordained marriage, and he is the one who joins two together, let's get back to our passage and look at some basic commands. He says, wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Well, that's a simple statement. The term be subject to hupotasso in Greek. Hupo means under. Tasso means to arrange or order. It means to order under, to line up under someone's authority in a sense. It was used as a military term of soldiers lining up under their commanding officer. Thus, soldiers submitting to their superior officers. It's the idea of lining up under the authority of someone else that is ordained. Now, this word does not address personhood at all. It addresses position. Biblical submission is an ordering under, a lining up under. It is subjection to God's authority that he has ordered for different relationships. Submission is not a new concept introduced by chauvinistic men to keep their women down. It's clearly a spirit-inspired command, and we see that God has ordained submission in many other relationships. For instance, we are all to submit to government. Romans 13, verse 1, let every person be in subjection, hupotasso, to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those who exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists the authority has opposed the ordinance of God. Who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. We see that in 1 Peter chapter 2, submit yourselves to the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether as to the king, that was Nero at that time, as one authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. This is 1 Peter 2:14. To the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Servants are to be submissive to their masters. Titus 2:9. Urge bond slaves to hupotasso their own masters, to be subject to their own masters in everything. Now, something that's similar right now is the work relationship. Your boss says do that, you do it. You be subject to him in everything. To be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing good faith that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. That's Titus 2:9. 1 Peter 2:8. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle. I hear it so often, I'm such a jerk boss or whatever it might be, and then the attitude is like, I don't really need to submit in that kind. Well, that's wrong. We're to submit to those in authority over us. He says, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor if for the sake of conscience towards God, a man bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. It's clear that young men are to submit to their elders. 1 Peter 5:5. Younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. In Ephesians 5:24, the church is hupotasso to Christ. So also wives to their own husbands and everything. We know that when we are worldly, we are often not submitting to God.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, today you gave us a lot to review. Would you tell our listeners why it's so important to see this passage concerning marriage in its context?
Absolutely, Dave. You see, if we try to go out and do what God tells us to do without understanding truly how we are to do it, then we're lost and we're going to fail every single time. The reality is we need to be walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be letting his word dwell richly, his peace ruling over us. We need to be setting our mind on the things above. We need to have his word working in us. And when that's happening, then God uses his word to change us, and here specifically in relationship to the marriage relationship. Okay, well, we just got started, so make plans to join us for our next edition of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.